Greetings and welcome to another edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we're going to be looking at a band that, appropriately for Coverthon, is more well known for their covers than they are for their originals. As a matter of fact, I looked through their list, and just about everything that I know by Three Dog Night, all the big songs by Three Dog Night, are all cover songs.
Yeah, it was funny doing the research on this because there were a few of them that as soon as I saw the name of who actually had written it or who had done it originally, like, oh yeah, that's totally them. Like Old Fashioned Love Song, if it's not a Paul Williams song, then you're not paying attention.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's totally true. And so that's actually kind of what we're going to be doing. It's funny, on Coverthon, usually you hear nothing but covers. But for this show, we're going to be doing the original versions, the pre-Three Dog Night versions.
All right, we're taking a field trip to Originalville.
It is Originalville. It's exactly what it is. And
it's two highway stops down, past the rest stop, and it's got one gas station.
Yes, it's best if you don't get out of your car. correct, yes. And we'll talk about Captain Kipper brings up Joy to the World. That's exactly the one we're going to be – well, we're going to be talking about all of them. So tuck in. Let's get into it right here. They're an American rock band that was formed in 1967. Their classic lineup is Danny Hutton, Corey Wells, Chuck Negron, who did all the vocals.
Well, no, all three of those guys are vocalists.
That's right, because I remember Danny Hutton being a vocalist as well. So all three of those guys, Corey Wells, Danny Hutton, and Chuck Negron, all vocalists. Jimmy Greenspoon on keyboards, Joe Shermy on bass, Michael Alsup on guitar, and Floyd Sneed on drums.
It really does sound like Muppet character names.
Floyd Sneed and Joe Shermy. Totally. Jimmy Greenspoon, too. They all do.
Yeah, they all sound like they're backup members of Dr. Teeth's Mayhem.
They all look like Zoot for some reason.
And they smell like hemp and Muppet sweat.
Hemp and Muppet sweat. If only we could name our Soundography episode something different than the band name, it would be called Hemp and Muppet Sweat. They had 21 hits on the top 40. Three number ones between 1969 and 1975. They helped introduce mainstream audiences to performers like Paul Williams, Hoyt Axton, Laura Nero, Harry Nilsson, Randy Newman, and Leo Sayer. All
just a name, just a name, like the top, like the Mount Rushmore people they did music of.
Exactly. And I mean, a lot of these names were well known beforehand, but maybe not necessarily to the audiences that were picking up Three Dog Night albums. Yeah. The name comes from a documentary about Wild Dingo, and when it's very cold, you rate the level of how cold it is by how many dingoes you need in your hovel with you, whether it's curling up with one dog night or a two dog night or a three dog night. If it's really, really cold, you need three dogs, which I love. They became one of the most successful bands in the U.S. in the late 60s. They had 12 gold albums. Their first gold record was One. Their three number ones were Mama Told Me Not to Come, Joy to the World, and Black and White. And like I said, they only wrote a handful of songs. They used a lot of songs that were written by outside artists. The official debut was at the Whiskey a Go-Go back in 1968. In the mid-70s, they could play a 90-minute set of all hits, which is kind of a rare feat that few bands could do at that time.
Okay, this actually wanted me to spark a conversation. Can you name other bands that could go 90 minutes and every song is a hit?
Do I have to pull from the 70s? Because I think Huey Lewis is a good example.
Uh-huh, Huey Lewis is a good one. I think Duran Duran's a good one.
Hall & Oates could definitely do an all hit.
Boston.
All hit 90s. Oh, yeah.
Boston's a good one. Boston's a great one. I didn't even think of Boston.
And Chicago, speaking of city bands, Chicago could do it. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look right now, could bands like, One Direction pull out 90 minutes of all hits?
No.
I guess maybe I'm familiar with a couple of hits here. Somebody in UK is shouting, of course I could.
Oh, how about the Spice Girls? Could they do 90 minutes of hits?
No, the 90 minutes of Spice Girls music would be five hits and one album. And their entire last album. Well, how can we forget Queen?
Queen. Pink Floyd.
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So Elton John. There's a few. A lot of them from the 60s and 70s, though.
Right.
That says something about modern music that I'm not going to get into.
We'll see. Tina and I are going to go see Katy Perry on Monday night, so I'll let you know if she's able to pull 90 minutes of hits.
As long as she's got whipped cream shooting out of places, it's a hit.
That's half of her catalog right there. In 1981, they reunited and released the ska-inspired It's a Jungle, the album came out in 1983, a couple of years after they reunited. In 1986...
You greased over the headlight of that thing.
Ska-inspired. I know. Ska-inspired Three Dog Night. I've never heard this.
We need to listen to this album. We need to have George come on to the You Gotta Hear This.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And we need to do the ska-inspired Three Dog Night album.
Do you remember ska... Three Dog Night?
I can't even imagine what it sounds like.
Three Ska Night. you know, I think I can, through the magic.
Three Ska Night.
let's see here. Give me a second.
I can almost put just an old-fashioned love song to the rhythm of ska and kind of get an idea.
So I had a friend in college, while you're looking for this, Brian, I had a friend in college who actually played in a ska band called Stretch Armstrong, and he said, ska is nothing but your favorite song where you're playing every third note.
It feels like that's very true. all right, here you go. Here's a little sample of Three Dog Night. Oh, my God. That's exactly what it sounds like. And this already might be the greatest video I've ever seen.
God, we might have seen this on Teletoons once.
There's somebody playing an overturned trash can. Oh no, motorcycle drove by, and my God, it's every 80s trope. Like the three lead singers in leather jackets singing in front of a background, and now they're repeating the first 5 minutes of the first 2 minutes of the video over again. Did you notice that? It's like they're using the same. Okay, this is new footage. This is okay. Well, I'm loving it, and I kind of want to change my picks for songs.
I'm sure we could do that. You,
God, I felt like I was 20 again for a moment.
I kept waiting for Eddie Grant to kick in and start doing stuff.
By the way, Bonnie Tyler apparently did a cover of this song. I don't know when she did it. Oh, she released it in 1983. Same
year?
As Three Dog Night. But the best part, and I've never noticed this about the album cover of Faster Than the Speed of Night, but it's like, this is why you don't bring a laser pointer over to Bonnie Tyler's house. Like, if you pull up a copy of the album cover, I can't do it. But did you pull one up, Hammond?
No, I have not. I tend not to click around too much because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. But
well, if you do, with who?
No, like clicking on things that I'm not supposed to. Okay, now I'm looking at it.
No, I'll give you
images.
Oh
my gosh.
It looks I know it's supposed to be like, oh, super cool sci-fi. She's got like lasers on her head, but it looks like a laser is passing unblocked through her head, going from one ear in one ear and out the other.
It looks like she got stabbed with a lightsaber through the ears. It's like she's doing the Steve Martin gag with a lightsaber.
It totally is. All right. Anyway, that's a distraction that we didn't need. But anyway, so there you go. Ska-inspired Three Dog Night. Crazy.
And here comes another complete incongruity in their history.
Totally. In 1986, the song In My Heart was used in a film called Robotech, the movie. Which kind of reminds me of You Got the Power from the Power from the Transformers.
Actually, I was thinking it was more like Dare to Be Stupid from Transformers.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, no kidding.
Then there's a movie that came out. It was a foreign film. I can't remember what it was, but Aerosmith. Or no, Steven Tyler did the solo. It was a solo artist, and he did the music for it. And I can't remember what movie it was, but no, it was the live action Space Battleship Yamato film. And he did the closing credits for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's crazy. That's totally crazy. Let's see. Over the years, they had many people come through the lineup for reasons that ran from being in other bands to drug addiction and everything in between. In 2002, Three Dog Night with the London Symphony Orchestra was released. It was recorded in L.A. And at Abbey Road in London. It contained two new songs, Overground and So St. Marie. There's still a Three Dog Night out there that's performing. Most of the original members have passed away or have health issues, but Timothy Hutton, Danny's son, plays bass in the band when Alsup couldn't due to health issues. Danny Hutton and Michael Alsup are the only original members that are still current in the band.
And they play in places like Wendover and Mesquite and stuff like that.
Branson, I'm sure. No relation Timothy Hutton to the actor. Like, that's not...
No.
Danny's son is not the actor who's in Ordinary People.
No, I think that's just a naming happenstance.
Yes, exactly. Well, very cool. Well, so as promised, we're going to play, because this is Coverthon, we got to play some originals. What we're going to do is we're going to play a few original songs that were covered by Three Dog Night, starting off with Harry Nilsson in one. On the other side of this set, we're going to do some trivia questions, so make sure you stick around and use that hashtag Coverthon when you tweet. Let's get right into it. Here is one by Harry Nilsson.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number, much, much worse than two. Divided by two.
To Spain, but I kinda like the music. Yeah, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, they'll never lose it. I can't refuse it. Whoa. Well, I've never been to England, but I kinda like the Beatles. Oh, headed for Las Vegas. Only made it out to Needles. Can you feel it? It's gotta be real. It feels so good. Feels so good. Here we go.
getaway. Leave me outside my address, far away from this masquerade.
Leo Sayer with the original version of The Show Must Go On. Before that, you heard Hoyt Axton with Never Been to Spain, and then Harry Nilsson at the top of that set doing One from his album Aerial Ballet. Now, Joy to the World, here's where there's that little weird twist. By the way, while that was going on, we were looking at videos, weird 1970s videos of both Three Dog Night and Leo Sayer doing that song, doing The Show Must Go On. Looks like Leo Sayer did it on The Muppet Show as well, but there's some really weird...
Of course he did.
What's that?
Of course he did.
Of course he did. Yeah, I mean, it seems the perfect fit, doesn't it?
Alice Cooper did Welcome to My Nightmare, so of course he did that.
So cool. I need to go back and watch that one. What a great... Oh, yeah, that's right. It was with the... was it the...
He used all the big monsters.
Right, but wasn't there also the Ernie look-alike with the cape and the...
Yes, I think it was, yeah. I think he did, yeah.
I'm going to have to look for that one. During
also, they also did a really good version of For What It's Worth with the, like, an anti-hunting stance.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no kidding. Did they really?
Yeah, they did. It's all these animals sitting in a tree singing about, you know, stopless and what's that sound, and they'd hide.
Was it with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or was it with...
No, I think it was just a Muppets, like, solo political stance.
Wow. Oh, that's crazy. God, I love that. That's fantastic. Cool. Well, let's talk about...
Do their discography real quick. We can hit that, and then we can go down and talk about Stairway to Heaven and then what we'd like to hear them do.
Totally.
Okay.
It came out in 1968 with the album Three Dog Night. Followed that the next year with Suitable for Framing.
Which is an odd thing that now we could move from Suitable for Framing into Moving Pictures.
Right? You could even use the same album cover. It Ain't Easy in 1970, as well as the album Naturally, also in 1970. I mean, back then, you know, cranking out album after album, one year after another. I mean, you know, aside from their ska album, here's...
I love that you just keep saying that.
Right. Here's 8 years where they released 9 albums.
Yeah.
10 albums? 9 albums.
Well, so here's the other thing, too, is it's much easier for them because they basically were studio musicians. They weren't writing anything.
Well, that's true. They're not... Right. I mean...
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a very real way. The people would hand them songs and they'd go and record them, and it wasn't... like they had to put in a lot of writing time. They could be on tour and hit any studio anywhere in America and crank out an album.
Right. Yeah. No, that's totally the way it was. And like George said, I mean, back then, and we talked about this in other soundographies where we look at bands from the 70s, common practice was an album every year, maybe even a year where you released an album in the winter in January, February, and then released another one before the end of the year.
Then who was it that, released all these, like almost all the songs on an album before they released the album? They had like 6 songs out as singles before they put them together all on an album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's been a couple that we've talked about, maybe the City Rollers or somebody like that. Harmony in 1971, 7 Separate Fools in 1972, Cyan in 73, Hard Labor in 74, Coming Down Your Way in 75, American Pastime in 1976. And then a 7-year hiatus where they decided ska was going to be the new direction. And then the last album released.
I'm really glad that they went second wave of ska, because if they'd gone third wave, it would have been really funny.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Now let's get to their Stairway to Heaven songs. So you go see Three Dog Night in concert, or you did way back then. And
you drive to Wendover and you see him now.
You go to Branson, opening with Yakov Smirnoff. What is the song that you're absolutely going to hear them play? I think it's tough because there's you're going to hear everything that we're talking about.
Because,
what do they save for? You put your number one single what, at the very end of your concert right before the encore, or the first song in the first encore, or the last song of the last encore? Which one do you, where's the placement for your biggest hit?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the song, because if it's an upbeat song, you stick it in the encore, or you stick it right before you go off, before you come back for the encore. Mm-hmm. But if it's a song like What I'm Thinking It Is, I think you stick it midway through to give everyone a chance to kind of catch their breath on the roller coaster ride of 90 minutes of hits.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
I'm sure The Show Must Go On is played right before you start your encore. I mean, that's the last song. They go take a break, and then they come back on with a fresh coat of High Karate and...
Or it's Sex Panther. 90% or 50% of the time, it works all the time, whatever the phrase is. I haven't pulled up, I've got the Three Dog Night set list page pulled up, but I haven't looked at their statistics. And I'm going to say Joy to the World is their most played song.
And you might be onto something with that one. I forgot about that one, kind of, because I was myopic on one. From the minute we started talking about them, I was myopic on one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look here. Going to the artist statistics on setlist.fm.
Well, what does George say before you pull it up?
Oh, yeah, George, what's
the song I almost always immediately associate with them first is Joy to the World.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. You know, Kevin Gilbert threw that in at the end of a Joytown cover, Songs Live.
That's right. He did. We've got that. I think we maybe even played that version on our Beyond the Playlist.
Yeah.
Number one, Joy to the World, which is credited as a Hoyt Axton cover, and I want to talk about that. Second on the list is One by Harry Nilsson, originally by Harry Nilsson. Mama Told Me Not to Come, Randy Newman. Fourth is one of their originals, Celebrate. Fifth is Shambhala. Black and White is number six. Earl Robinson cover, Old Fashioned Love Song by Paul Williams is their number seven. Never Been to Spain is Hoyt Axton. And Liar, which is Argent. I've actually got a version I think predates Argent.
Oh, wow.
Laura Nero. And I think she was the first to do it. We'll have to look that up while we're playing it. And then The Family of Man, rounding that out. Now, let's talk about Joy to the World, because this is one of those where it's just a matter of timing. 1970, Hoyt Axton writes the song Joy to the World. He records his version, but Three Dog Night records their version and gets it released in 1970, whereas Hoyt Axton's version doesn't get released until 1971.
But it was written by Hoyt, though, right?
By Hoyt.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So it's technically, I mean, it's not technically their song. That's about what we can say, but they did release the first version. And for me, that is the criteria of a cover. If you get the first version out there, regardless of if somebody else covers it, or I'm sorry, even if the writer releases a version, as long as you get that version out there first, I call that the original. Now, here's a weird one. Flying Burrito Brothers released Wild Horses, which was a Jagger and Richards song before the Rolling Stones release of their version. Are you ever going to think of Wild Horses as being a song by anybody else than the Rolling Stones?
No.
Yeah. No. So that's an example of, you know, that
an exception to every
that role. Can't apply.
Yeah. I before E, except after the Rolling Stones.
Well done, sir. All right. Let's talk about who we'd like to hear them cover. You've got yours in the list here. You need to give me time to come up with mine.
That's fine. Do you want me to start talking?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So I initially had picked a different song, but I don't know if you saw that initial pick.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay. No. My initial pick was actually going to be, see, since they're still active and going, I'm actually going, pushing them into modern music.
Right.
And so my initial pick was Pull Me Under by Dream Theater, because I loved, but I went a different direction, and I actually had them covering Nothing Else Matters by Metallica, because I really think they could rub some Three Dog Night juice on that, add some harmonies, and I think it could actually be really cool three dogged up.
I like that a lot. That's a really, really good choice. I'm picking something that is a little bit closer to their sound, but not specifically their sound. Like it's a journey for them to still put their paint on this song, but it's not, it won't be a big leap and it won't feel like it's out of place performed by then or by them. It would be a Little Lion Man, by Mumford and Sons.
Okay. All right.
Kind of bluegrassy country, not country, but bluegrassy crossover for them to kind of put their banjo, tambourine twang on that, I think would be kind of cool.
Okay.
I know you didn't have time to prepare. Is there, like,
I'm trying to think. Nothing's coming to mind yet.
That's okay. We'll come back to that.
I wouldn't mind. Now, I wouldn't mind hearing them cover. I mean, again, since they're still active and doing things, I wouldn't mind them hearing them covering Queen's "The Show Must Go On." I wouldn't mind them hearing them do Black and White, the Michael Jackson song. Some of these things that they've already referenced, just spin it up and do it again.
Right. Just do. We've already got the. We've already got the title in our word processor that we can copy and paste onto our playlist sheets.
Yeah.
I can't think of another Shambhala that no.
Yeah, but how does your light shine?
Wash away my pain with the rain of Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame with the rain of Shambhala. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
We've got time for maybe a couple more songs to close out. Do we want to go through our playlists?
Yeah. Why don't you read through yours and kind of highlight them, and then I'll go through mine and we can.
We broke the rules for this one. Usually we stay away from the greatest hits. But in this case, it felt appropriate since the songs we're playing are the original versions. It felt more appropriate for us to pick the hits. So, my top five songs, Black and White. Really like that song. Like the, it's just got such a great hook, and the piano and, snare drum and toms that you get in the beginning of that song are really, really good. The Show Must Go On. We heard that one earlier by Leo Sayer. I like their version as well. I think any song that has that circus theme at the beginning, I just enjoy. Shambhala. Gotta say, what made the song for me, George? George, you can probably guess.
That. Yes, yeah, the same thing that really made it for me. And I always liked the song, but then when it was featured in Lost, I put it over the top.
It absolutely did. I don't know why. Seeing Hurley and Sawyer driving around on that VW microbus with Shambhala playing just absolutely elevated that song.
I have still never watched A Frame of Lost.
I know, don't, because you and I are doing that podcast.
Okay,
where
all right.
You, for the first time, and I'm your co-host. I'm your guide through it.
Okay.
Which I think is brilliant. Next up is Never Been to Spain. We again heard the Hoyt Exton original version of that earlier in the show. And then finally, the other song we heard at the top, and it's funny because my favorite version is unequivocally, is that the right word? The version by Amy Mann. I love her take on the song One that she recorded for the soundtrack to the film Magnolia.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I like all the versions of it, but boy, her version just sails it over the top. And I know you have another cover that you like of song One.
I do. I like the Dokken version just because, one, I'm a Dokken nerd, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of put mine in. I flew in and I forgot that we were doing this part. I was actually just going to expect you to just play songs and we were going to talk about them. So
right. I kind of forgot to. So
anyway, I threw in these because I do like them. So Mama Told Me Not to Come. It's a great song. And mm-hmm. I love the fact that they musically use a slide whistle, unironically, in that song.
Yeah, no kidding. And that's a Shel Silverstein joint, mm-hmm. which is great.
I love Easy to Be Hard is now my second choice. And that's, again, it's from Hair, isn't it?
Oh, really? Easy from the soundtrack to Hair? Sure, I believe it.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, I'm kind of pulling this loosely. I didn't do a lot of research coming in, so. But I think it's from Hair.
I think that sounds right, because I was looking at that one and thinking that I didn't recognize it as being from one of their standard albums. So
yeah, and then Old Fashioned Love Song, it is the other end of The Show Must Go On for me. There's a kind of a ragtimey feel to it that I totally really is. Really enjoy. Then Play Me Something Sweet and Play Me Something Mellow. I freaking love that song. It's so much fun. It's one of those ones, one of the first ones I of theirs that I remember sitting down to think, okay, I need to learn the lyrics to this one so I can sing along and not be an idiot.
And Deeper Cut, too. That's mm-hmm. not considered to be one of their greatest hits. So yeah, well done for actually sticking to our rules.
For one song.
Right. Well, two, because the next one.
Oh yeah, well, Eli's Coming. It's a great song, and it has such a neat build to it. Because the way the vocals rise up, it lets you know that something's going to arrive by the way they're singing it. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun song. And frankly, I mean, I've been a fan of Three Dog Night. So when you suggested doing it for this, it was awesome. Because I sat in the airport today listening to some Three Dog Night, and it was fun.
Very cool. Oh, that's a great place. I like listening to music, like, you know, with headphones when you've got all this bustling traffic and stuff around you, and it kind of takes you away. That's a great, I know the airport when I'm traveling solo is a great place for me to listen mm-hmm. to music.
So yep.
I can totally.
We have whiskey with your water, sugar with your tea. What are these crazy questions that they're asking me? Wildest party that they ever could be. Well, don't turn on the light, cause I don't wanna see. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said it ain't a way to have fun. Open up the window, let some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking on the smell of stale perfume. That cigarette y'all smoke about to scare me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. Last, and she's out on the floor. I seen so many things that I ain't never seen before. Don't know what it is, but I don't want to see no more. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said it ain't a way to have fun.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. Never understood a single word he said, but I helped him drink his wine. And he always had some mighty fine wine. Singing joy to the world now, all the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Everybody singing joy to the world now. All the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. If I were the king of the world, tell you what I'd do. Throw away the cars and the bars and the wars, and make sweet love to you. Just make sweet love to you.
That's it right there. That is the Three Dog Night soundography. If you're a fan of what we just did, imagine what we do when we have more time to do it and a lot more information that we can divulge about a band. the soundography, that's where we are on Twitter. Soundography.com is where you're going to go to hear more of our shows. We've tackled everybody from Duran Duran to Iron Maiden to Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young to
Spock's beard,
exactly.
Which has my favorite edit ever. I hate to say it, but I mean, of all the shows I've put together, that has my favorite moment ever in it.
I'm glad you pointed that out so I could make sure I listened to that, because that is fantastic. Terrific. Well, that's it.
Hey,
thank you so much for being here, man.
Before you kick me out, yeah, I just want to remind everybody about our conversation we had about Lex.
Oh, yeah. So aside from Soundography, the two of us recently collaborated on your other show, which is Beyond the Playlist, talking about amazing performer and a guy who's really prevalent on social media these days. Used to be with a new wave band in the 80s called The Scrambles. Now he's on his own, but he's working hard to kind of get some of that, all that old music released. His name is Lex Dallas. And boy, he is he's a performer that you definitely want to check out, and you definitely want to hear some of his stuff on the most recent episode of Beyond the Playlist. Hammond, where can people hear that?
If they go over to jhammondc.com, you can find links over to Beyond the Playlist, or you can just look for it on iTunes or Google Play or any of those kind of places.
There you go. I'm glad you reminded me to talk about that. Yeah, I made sure Scott knew about that since Lex was at Nerdtacular this last year.
That's right. He got stuck up in the mountains.
Mountain on the top of the gondola ride for a little while. But anyway, got to make sure to go check that out. The Lex Dallas episode of Beyond the Playlist. And of course, while you're there, listen to all the other great episodes of Beyond the Playlist. Terrific show, man. And great to have you on.
Thanks. I appreciate it. This is my, I've been doing this every year since 2013 now. And I was terrified I was going to miss it this year.
Oh, really? Good. I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad we were able to make it work. Fantastic. All right. Well, Hammond, have a great rest of your day.
The show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.